If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
So look, that was an interesting press conference, and you guys have been talking about Jen Psaki's comments that she doesn't believe that the migrants down here intend to stay for a long time. That's news to these folks down here. If they were to actually come down here and talk to them, I think they would realize that they're not traveling from halfway around the world to go on a little camping trip for a few days under this bridge and then just go back into Mexico. They intend to stay. They know under the Biden administration, if they can just step foot on U.S. soil, they will have a chance to be released into the U.S., either with a future court date or something else. They know that. The word about that has spread, and that is just a basic reality of why so many people are showing up in this surge right here.
There, I love that soundbite from Jen Psaki that was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Yeah, can you play? But, well, first off, welcome to the show, everybody. Dana Lash, danalash.com. I want to let you know what he's referring to, because this, when he says, well, they're here to stay, I don't want you to think that he's like being glib. He's actually Bill Malugin, who is with Fox 5 LA, and he works with Fox News too. He was specifically remarking about something that Jen Psaki had said at a press conference when she was asked about these people that are coming over. And this was the response. Listen.
If somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time.
For a lengthy period of time, except
they are.
And I have some headlines about that. So, it's Thursday. Welcome to the show. It's already a crazy, insane Thursday. And it's good to be with you. All right. So, oh my goodness. Where to even start with all of this stuff? So the latest news coming from out of the border. And this, let me get into this whole idea that that individuals aren't looking to stay for a while. There was actually some even more information on this, and I'll put this at some point in the newsletter. But the idea that people aren't going to stay for a while. So there were a couple of reports out that were looking at whether it was illegal immigration in Chile, whether it were even looking in Colombia, Guatemala, Honduras. So what ended up happening? And I like how people are saying like the secret 15 to 16,000 Haitians, like they're secret Haitians, which almost sounds like a movie, like a Lifetime movie or something, right? So they said that thousands of migrants, of these Haitian migrants that flocked to Del Rio, were already living and working comfortably as refugees in Chile, and they only set off for the United States after Biden stopped the whole Trump era deportation policy. So they said that most of them actually, most of them who came to Del Rio, for all the people out there who are like, oh my gosh, these people are starving, and it's they actually didn't come from Haiti. I mean, they're from Haiti originally, but they've been living for the past 5 to 6 years actually in Chile. Now, Chile is the wealthiest country in Latin America, and they've been living, some have been in Santiago, other cities in Chile for the past, 5 to 6 years, some even longer. I have another piece that said some have been there for like 9 to 10 years. They've traveled up through South America. And then when there was the word out that, oh, Biden's just not, he's stopping to the deportation of people, then that's when everything went crazy. So they were, everybody was flocking to that international bridge there in Del Rio. And the Center for Immigration Studies said that Del Rio is one of the cheapest because apparently, I don't know how, because the cartel controls almost everything that crosses the border. Apparently, I guess that's about the most affordable part. But there were tons of Chilean identity cards right across the Rio, right across the Rio Grande from Del Rio. And not a single person. I mean, they, the very French, French controlled areas, so it's very, you have French names, and there are dozens and dozens of Chilean identity cards. And this is something that reporters there on the ground have also said. So they didn't actually migrate at all from Haiti, but from Chile. And because Chile had granted them asylum. So they already had asylum in Chile. So they weren't, I love these progressives who don't know where things are on a map. They're like, oh my gosh, that hurricane came in and it blew all these Haitians from Haiti right over into the Rio. Blew them all across the Gulf. Or maybe they think that Haiti's somehow connected to South America. I don't know. I mean, something's up because these people have no idea where the hell this place is on a map. Democrats can't point out, some of these people on the left cannot point anything out unless it's New York or LA or DC. They can't tell you where anything else is. And so you've had, I mean, you have these names like Prosper Pierre. Wow, that's totally a Mexican name there, Kane. Your family's from Mexico. I mean, I'm sure you got a lot of Pierres in your family, don't you? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but
oddly, not a one.
You don't have any?
It's weird.
I'm just shocked by this. So you have, or you have people who have the last name Lafleur or Jean Charles or something like that. You don't have, they say none of the cards carried any of the most even common. Like common is like Rojas or Gonzalez or anything like that. Munoz, none of them. So there are all these French names with Chilean cards. They have photos of these, by the way. Unless you think I'm making them up, there are tons of photos of all over Twitter of just all of these people's Chilean identification. Everybody's been given, they've all been given amnesty. They've all been given asylum anyway. And Chile is actually, I mean, their economy has been, was doing a little rough. But they're, don't sit, I mean, they're, you can't compare them to Venezuela. You can't compare them to Honduras. They actually privatized the Social Security years ago. So they've been coming for a long way. And that's because Biden was like, hey, everybody, it's a free for, it's a international kegger. Come on up to the border. Kegger in Del Rio. So that's what's been happening. So all these people out there are like, these starving Haitians, they're not starving, you epically idiotic morons. These people are so self-obsessed. These navel-gazing reporters who have no idea. Look at how ridiculous they are. These starving Haitians coming across the border. The starving Haitians that have been for a decade have already been granted asylum in Chile. Who have been living in Chile anywhere from 5 to 10 years. And they're like, hey, Biden, just have a green light at the border. We'll just go ahead and go on up, even though they've already been granted asylum in Chile. Chile was even... Yeah, I mean, this stuff is hidden on the internet. Do you know how easy it was to find, like, how many people Chile has granted asylum to already that were coming in from Haiti? This is insane. Nobody does just the bare minimum of reporting, even. It's just pretty unbelievable. So, it's good heavens. I don't know. I am almost speechless, almost, but not quite. So this is one of the things we're looking at. Also, additionally, mystery of the 5,000 missing migrants that were already at Del Rio and were at the border. They had 12 flights that removed, I've seen different numbers. I've read that there were only 500 some odd Haitian illegal entrants that were moved. Then I read that it's actually up to maybe 1,300 or maybe not over 1,400, though. But you still have thousands in custody. You have over 5,000 under the bridge. There were way over 15,000 to start with. Now, here's the other thing. Do you remember under Barack Obama and Joe Biden, they were the people who started the whole kids in cages thing. And it wasn't actually cages. I'm not defending them. So don't put me in that. Don't put me in that square. I'm not defending them. It wasn't kids in cages. They were trying to, because they were so ridiculous about allowing everybody to come over the border. You had these grown adults who were bringing these kids, terrified children, over the border who didn't even know them. And that's because if you had a kid with you, then you immediately got fast processing and you just got, you either got out and you got a notice to appear or you got a request to appear, and that you were either given a date to get in front of an immigration judge or you weren't. And so they actually had to check, because there turned out to be some instances of child molestation and child sex trafficking, because nobody was checking to see, hey, maybe these kids aren't the children or related to these grown adults that they're coming across the border with. I've talked to border agents and I've seen some photos of like some of the evidence that they had been using in some of these cases, and that when they were trying to, they would end up sending some of the adults back and taking, like they would find, there was one guy that they had apprehended repeatedly, who apparently had like girls' panties on his person and all this stuff. Like he was bringing young, he only would bring young female children across. This is the garbage. This is the garbage that some of these kids have to, the horrible awfulness that these kids have to deal with. These kids didn't volunteer to do this. These adults are just pushing them around like pawns. There's some horrific stories that I could tell you that you, I mean, and I'm sure you can imagine, but they all have names and they all have faces, and these are real kids. And it is heartbreaking. And as a parent, I immediately want to wage a one woman army against like the coyotes and the cartels that are doing this. I mean, I want to go Rambo and I want to turn people to ash. It makes me so mad. But the stories are horrific. So one of the reasons why they had to separate the kids from the adults is to make sure that these were actually who they said they were, and to also talk to the kids and be like, are you okay? Because the kids aren't going to say anything when they're standing right next with their abductor or with their trafficker. They're not going to say anything. So they would bring in people to talk to them about this, right? So that's one of the, and I actually didn't oppose that. But no, but here's what it made me mad. Nobody called it kids in cages under Barack Obama and Biden. When Trump became president, it continued. Trump actually didn't like the policy because he was worried about it even more so. And they ended it under Trump. And what they did is they did. And this is what Obama Biden should have done. He's like, just because you have a kid across the border doesn't mean you're going to get immediate amnesty. You're not going to get immediate entry. So he ended that policy, and it dramatically reduced the number of adults who were trying to bring kids across the border, because Obama Biden wouldn't stop that policy. So you're actually creating the problem. Trump ended it. And that was before he ended it. And that was when you had AOC going down by the fence and pretending to cry, even though it was a parking lot and all this other garbage. So I bring this up because we've gone from kids in cages to now, guess where some of those Haitian migrants, they're not actually repatriating everybody back to Haiti. Not even a small percentage of them. Guess where they're going? There was a request for a contractor put out by DHS. They were asking for people who knew Haitian Creole to help run a new migrant camp that they're opening at Gitmo. So we've gone from kids in cages to putting refugees, I'm just adopting what the left does, into terror prisons. Now, there you go. Are they going to be able to get down there and cry for that? The squad? No, we're going to talk about that. We got jobless claim numbers. They're bad. We're also going to get into some of the latest with the Rona. FDA authorizes the Pfizer booster shots for older and at-risk Americans. We've got that for you. Also, packed show today. We got James O'Keefe is going to join us. We also have Senator Rand Paul, who will join us in our third hour. You do not want to miss it. It's a super ridiculously packed show today, so buckle up. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of two bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
This story makes me so mad, so I'm just going to try to read the headline, because otherwise we're going to be here for the rest of the day, not show, day. South Korean president repatriates American remains in Hawaii, and the White House didn't send anybody. This is like a big historic thing. You had the South Korean president that showed up in Hawaii to repatriate the remains of six United States military members and nearly 70 South Korean soldiers that fell during the Korean War. And so, very solemn ceremony. Now, I'm not discounting the presence of Admiral John Christopher Aquino. He was he's a highly decorated officer. He's, you know, graduated Naval Academy in 84. However, he is not even anywhere close to being the contemporary of the South Korean president, the president of South Korea. There wasn't anything in the media about this. So I have problems with that. Space Force uniforms were revealed. I don't know how I feel about this. But they're the uniform for the Guardians. I need to understand, like, their different level. Actually, I kind of dig them. I dig the collars of them for the ladies. I don't like the dudes' collars because they're too wide and they're not up enough. Anyway, I'm really picky about that. The buttons, very nice. Very nice. Really dig those. Right? Yeah, I really like those. It's nice, smart, big button jacket. I dig it. Anyway, some people were making fun of them, and those people have no souls or taste. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'll get mad about that, and we're going to go on and on. Fauci, are you kidding me? I hate everything. Everything, part two. Dr. Anthony Fauci is apparently now going to the movies. I don't know. The New York Times said that he's... Now, they said he's a movie star. He discussed a new documentary that tracks his work on two health crises. So he's in a documentary, so that's far from being a movie star. But can we stop sitting here and giving such... Can we stop just, you know, filleting this guy's ego? Is that possible? Stick around. We got a lot more in store next. Whether you're brewing the perfect cup of coffee before heading to work or cracking open a can of 300 on your next backcountry mission, Black Rifle Coffee Company is here to fuel wherever life takes you. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by giving back with every purchase you make. This summer, Black Rifle Coffee Company invites you to enjoy your coffee, not just in the great taste of America's coffee, but also the places you drink it and the passion and adventure it fuels. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at BlackRifleCoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your summer with America's coffee, Black Rifle Coffee.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, so we watch the flow of individuals who are seeking to migrate irregularly through Mexico from the Northern Triangle countries and further south. We do indeed track it. Nevertheless, Congressman, as I previously articulated, the speed with which this materialized is unprecedented. And that is why we surged as many resources as we have.
That's Alejandro Mayorkas, DHS Secretary. I'm Dana Lash. Welcome to my program, DanaLash.com. I know what you all are thinking, so I'm just going to. Irregular migration sounds like a women's issue. The hell is this? Irregular migration. Are you experiencing irregular migration? Seriously. Isn't that what it's... I'm not trying to be crass. That's a stupid phrase. Irregular migration. Are you experiencing irregular migration? No, I... That's... It's not irregular. It's... Do you think that this sort of phrasing comes to them naturally, or is this just by way of observation? I'm curious. Irregular migration. Anything to not say border disaster, problem, chat, anything. Yeah. I think Joe Biden actually accidentally came the closest when he said it was a challenge. Remember? He's like, oh, it's a challenge.
It's like saying I'm not a thief. I'm just an individual that has irregularly obtained someone else's property.
I am engaging in irregular borrowing. Right? What else can this be? I am going to use this now every single time that if I, you know, forever, heaven forbid, say I get pulled over for speeding. I've only ever received one ticket. Say, I know, I am perfect. Say that I get, just say that whatever, you know what happens, I get pulled over. I'm just going to say I was increasing my momentum irregularly. Right?
Or irregularly observing the speed limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I was irregularly, exactly. So, oh my. It's irregular migration. I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
Maybe they need fiber.
Maybe they do, right? Would you guys, I mean, you with your probiotics, and then they can get my mom on the phone with them, and then my gosh, they'll be fine.
We'll get them regular.
Irregular driving. Yeah, like Juan says, like if you're in an accident, it was some irregular driving. Or you don't use your blinker. I was irregularly changing lanes. Yeah. How else can this be applied? Just the weaselly way that they're trying to not say that this is a disaster. Can't you even, can they just try to just say, yeah, it's a problem at the border? They won't even say that. Well, it's irregular. Yeah, a lot of things are irregular there, Slick. What else do you think is irregular?
The flow of individuals who are seeking to migrate irregularly.
It seriously sounds like a ladies' Mexico. Issue. Dudes. I mean, he says flow. He's talking about, you know, I'm just saying it sounds like a ladies issue. I feel like that's going to be, that could be. Do you have irregular migration? Mom, do you ever have to deal with irregular migration? I mean, just like how.
I feel like he's really good at limbo.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I do believe he's Gumby. I really do feel like he would be. Oh, man. So it's a problem. I'll just put it like that. Or one of my friends who lives in McAllen says it's a, I can't say what he says, actually. I had to stop myself there. Sorry, Sergio. Almost gave Sergio a stroke. He's like, wait a minute, what? Down at KURV. I can't actually say because it's bad news. Bears language, so we'll just pretend it's very colorful. So the press conference they're having, this is, so I have to say this, I'm so, every single time I watch any of these press conferences, right, and it doesn't even really matter what channel it's on, like if it's on Fox or wherever, and they're doing a White House presser and they're asking questions about the border, I mean, they're showing video footage of people living in huts under the international highway, thousands of them. And then you have Jen Psaki next to it in a toolbox going, well, it's, you know, it's just robust. That wasn't that the other way that they try to describe it? It's like some robust immigration. Yeah. Robust, guys. Anything to not say. Problem, disaster, whatever. Because that's more important. Good night. All right. So a couple of, I have actually a million things here. One quick note, I don't follow like the true crime stuff. I don't. I love murder mysteries, like actually like films. Like I love Poirot, and I love, you know, any like Knives Out was a great film. But the Gabby Petito, there is one aspect of this case though that I have found fascinating, and the aspect of this case that I found that I find fascinating are all of these media outlets running all of these stories asking why this white woman is getting more media attention than anybody else. Now, ABC just ran a piece on this. Here's the headline. Gabby Petito case example of missing white woman syndrome, say experts. Now, hold up. Hold up. You know how many articles ABC has? On, I mean, just all you got to do is Google ABC and Gabby Petito. Holy wow. Headline after headline. I have, oh, I'm still in like three pages of headlines here from ABC. They always ask this. Do you realize that you're the media? You know this, right? A friend of mine was remarking on this just yesterday. I mean, you know that for all the people that are out there asking this, they know that like you're literally the media, like NPR. The media's focus on the Gabby Petito case has been frustrating for some people who point out that the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women doesn't get nearly the same media attention. You're literally the media. Why don't you give them the same attention? It's not the problem of the people who read the stuff you write. You're the people who write this. Do you see now why I so correctly said what I said at that CPAC? And this was, the media got so mad at me because I said the media loves, they love tragedies. And I said the media loves mass shootings. I was talking about the tragedy of mass shootings. They focus, they ignore if it's underage gang crime. And I'm not saying to use it as some like, you know, they never actually want to look at what are the legitimate actual causes that are driving, for instance, kids to get involved in gangs and get involved in drugs, etc. They don't ever do the deep dive in that because heaven forbid they actually do real reporting. No, instead, they like to do the lazy status thing and always play the race card, which actually makes this whole situation worse. No, whenever there's something, and I said this on stage in front of all the media, and they were couldn't believe that somebody said that, but I was absolutely true. I was as correct then as I am correct now. They love cases like this because they feel like they can use it to scare middle America and fearmonger and everything else. This is one of the reasons why, I mean, case in point, I was talking to a friend's mother about this. We talk on Facebook. And they've been very public about this on their Facebook pages as members of the Black community. They are justifiably suspicious when government pushes stuff like this. Because as I have said on these airwaves before, wherever you fall in the political spectrum, one thing that you cannot deny is that Tuskegee and those experimentations, that wasn't that long ago in our nation's history. For some people, that was their grandparents. For some people living, they know people that went through this, great-grandparents. So there is a history of distrust there. And what really kind of I find intriguing is that we talk about distrust in the Black community with policing, but we don't talk about, at least the media won't really touch it, distrust in the Black community, justifiably so, of this kind of government mandated injections and science and medicine stuff, right? Nobody wants to have that conversation. I was talking with a friend of mine about this, again, my friend's mother, and she had made this comment. She's like, I get so mad at these stories. And I actually had messaged her because I saw that she got into an argument with somebody on Facebook because the person on Facebook that she was upset with, and this was someone that we knew mutually, keeps posting these pictures of these like elderly or middle-aged, all white people, like, oh, wish we would have gotten the vaccine. And it's like the same four stories that the media recycles as a way to be like, look at these people. I'm not going to tell you anything else about their health and not going to say anything else as to whether they have comorbidities, but we're going to use it to fearmonger and make it look, these people are dying and they wish that they would have gotten the injection. And my friend had said, why do you never, ever, you can't, the media doesn't, you don't have any stories about any any black couples or any black older individuals going through this, do you? And I thought that was kind of interesting. And then there was a bigger conversation that was talking about how the media was afraid to discuss that the black community's hesitancy and why, the legitimate reasons as to why. And so it makes me think of this whenever you have these like tragic cases, whenever it's, you know, I actually do think that there's something to this. Yeah. You don't hear about, you know, young kids getting gunned down in Chicago because the media sort of accepts that as, oh, well, that's Chicago. And that's going to, you know what I mean? It's almost like evidence of their own inherent racism in the way that they approach these news stories. But then they blow something up like this. And I will say that there is a legitimate question as to, well, it's the left-leaning media that is always obsessed with the stories about, you know, if it's a missing white woman or if it's a mass casualty incident at a white school or something like that. The left-leaning media, and let's not forget their political preferences, they always focus and obsess over their stories. But there's a very legitimate question to be raised as to, well, why don't you have those stories on, you know, indigenous women that go missing? Or why don't you have these stories about children whose lives are cut short, you know, in Chicago or elsewhere? But the media can't sit here and act like its audience that it prepares these stories for are the problem. You're the media. You're the people who are doing this and writing about it and do it and covering these stories. So ask yourselves, what biases do you have as it relates to ethnicity that prevents you from covering the stories you're asking to be covered? Makes no sense. So coming up, a few things. We have some economic numbers. They're not great. FDA has authorized Pfizer booster shots for older and at-risk Americans. JP Morgan Chase finds the Delta variant was actually half as contagious as believed. And we're going to get into that. We'll also talk about how that one woman who is some doctor in Baltimore keeps talking about how everybody needs to wear masks forever. And I'm not quite sure where she's, I mean, especially when Britain's like, no, we don't find it to be helpful. A number of other countries, science, etc. Speaking of wokery, rigor and objectivity are considered now to be harmful research practices. We have to touch on that because we got some wokery stuff. Of course, ongoing stuff with the border. We'll be talking with James O'Keefe and also Senator Rand Paul coming up.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
So what he has asked all of us to convey clearly to people who are understandably have questions, are passionate, are concerned, as we are about the images that we have seen, is one, we feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response. But separately, all related, it's also important for people to understand what our process and our immigration process is and what the steps are that are taken.
That's Jen Psaki, who is, I don't know. This whole thing is so frustrating. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you guys today. Coming up, we got James O'Keefe is going to be joining the show. We also have Senator Rand Paul, so you don't want to miss any of that as well. I can't wait to get some of the audio from the press conference because I live for Ducey time. You guys know that's one of my favorites. But this disaster, I mean, I can you just imagine? I want to ask you guys for one quick question. I got to ask you guys. Can you imagine if this was Trump?
Oh, man.
And, like, for instance, the going from kids to cages and going into now having kids in, or going from kids in cages to now having refugees in terrorist prison camps like in Haiti? Can you imagine? What would the media say, guys? Kane, what would the media say?
Well, no, they wouldn't say. They wouldn't say it was just irregular detaining.
Yeah.
They would make it the worst thing possible, like they're trying with everything else. Coronavirus, masks, everything else.
Have you seen anything else other than that brief NBC report on that story?
No.
I haven't either.
Yeah, you're right.
There's not a single bit that's come up about it. Not a single bit. No. Jobless claims are bad. We're going to talk about that here coming up. And also, everything is getting so woke. Where's the real resistance to this stuff? Here's this headline. Equitable research requires questioning the status quo. And under harmful research practices, they say that objectivity and rigor are considered harmful values and practices when it comes to research. This is an actual thing. Yeah. They said that objectivity allows people to define themselves as experts without learning from people who with lived experience. That's a CRT. That's a CRT theory. We've got more to come. You don't want to miss a single bit of this packed show. Senator Rand Paul, James O'Keefe on later on as well. Stick with us.
I have a question about the numbers that you gave and the math. So there are 15,000 migrants under the Del Rio Bridge Saturday. If you add up the ones that you say were expelled or released, it's less than 5,000. Say there's 5,000 that are still left. Where's everybody else?
I'm happy to get you a more fruitful rundown for you, if helpful, from the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay, and when you talk about how some of these people are being placed in removal proceedings, that does not mean removed, correct?
That means they're in the process of going through a removal proceeding so that we can it can go through the process, our immigration process that's long been in place.
We understand that basically most of these people that are going into removal proceedings are being put on either buses from Del Rio to El Paso and Laredo, or being flown to Tucson with no COVID testing unless they show symptoms. How is that helping anybody stop the spread?
Again, we have a protocol and process in place as it relates to COVID in terms of testing and quarantining, and also vaccines are provided for a range of migrants by our partner organizations in the region. What is happening now is that, as I outlined yesterday, is that if individuals cannot be expelled under Title 42, they are placed in removal proceedings, as you referred to. That may require them being placed in ICE detainment facilities, or it may require being given a notice to appear, where biometric data and other data is taken. In terms of their transportation methods, I'd certainly point you to the Department of Homeland Security.
But why should somebody, say, in Laredo, Texas, or El Paso, or Tucson, Arizona, have to have their chance of catching COVID go up because hundreds of miles away there is an open border?
Well, there certainly is not an open border. We are continuing to employ our immigration proceedings and process and restrictions at the border, and that includes the implementation of enforcing Title 42, which is an authority, a public health authority. It includes moving people into either a process for expedited removal or removal proceedings. That is our immigration process that we are proceeding underneath.
A final follow-up. You say the border is not open, but we're told by our teams on the ground, you guys are releasing pretty much all family units, couples where the woman says that she is pregnant, or single women who say that they are pregnant, and that nobody actually has to take a pregnancy test unless they want to. So,
are you suggesting you don't believe when women say they're pregnant? Is that a big issue, we think, at the border?
I am not in charge of keeping the border secure.
Do you think pregnant women are posing a big threat to the border?
You tell me.
To the border communities?
You
is that a big issue?
Tell me.
I'm not aware of pregnant women being a big issue of concern to people at the border. What I will note for you, Peter, is that, as I said earlier, there is a process.
What about all
if
the Haitians?
People cannot be expelled under Title 42 for a range of reasons. Some of that is because countries they came from or other countries, including Mexico, may not be accepting families with children.
This is
under the
obviously
age of
it's
seven.
Doozy time. We wanted to play some of this for you. This is Peter Doozy talking to Jen Psaki just moments ago. As part of Doozy Time. It's one of my favorite times of the day, Kane. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, tell you what. So, oh man, I got some stuff for y'all today. So, first, while this at this press conference, guys, I wish that I could just speak and a clown emoji would come right out of my mouth, because this is the only, I don't have any other way to describe this. Stuart, you guys remember the other day, the whole thing with the horses and the reins and all that? Okay, so I need you to listen to this audio soundbite I put in Slack, Kane. Oh my gosh, you thought you would see it. It's right under OMFG. It's there.
To convey clearly to people who are understandably have questions, are passionate, are concerned, as we are about the images that we have seen, is one, we feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response. So
they're not using horses anymore because the media said that the reins were whips. I just want to lay that very plainly on the table for you. They're not using horses because the Border Patrol wasn't whipping people like the media said, and they didn't have whips. They had reins, unlike what the media said. It sounds like maybe certain members of the media don't need to be there as opposed to the horses.
Okay, so if they believe the whip narrative, wouldn't they just say you can't have whips? Then that would probably solve the problem. Instead, they're saying you can't have horses.
Yeah.
So were the horses doing the whipping? Is what I'm wondering.
Whips are okay, but you can't have the horses.
I see.
The whips are fine.
I get it. Wow.
You got to chase after them on foot to whip them, apparently.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
These people are clowns. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's amazing to watch Beavis and Butthead take place in the White House on live television. It's amazing to watch that. So new rule. This is how they operate. But hey, you know what? The Haitian refugees sent to a terror prison camp is okay. Do you know that? That's all right. That's okay. You know, because the optics.
Right.
New rule, guys. The media took pictures of Border Patrol agents riding horses to corral people, and they said they were whips and they were whipping Haitians. So no more horses. Got to chase after him on foot to whip him now. It's new rule. Right? Oh, maybe they could just go and run after people trying to cross the border and just go, my truth, and just scream about that. That would annoy the hell out of me to the point where I'd be like, screw you guys. I don't want to come to your country after all anyway. Oh, my gosh. I don't have any. This is crazy. I don't have any. All right. So I'm going to come back to that. I just had to lay that on the table for y'all. Just had to lay it up there on the table. The couple of other things here. So this, let me pull this up. Guess what else came out? Some news that nobody's really talking about. I don't know if you heard about this or not. It's kind of a big deal. You guys, have you heard about this Business Insider story that said that Hunter Biden asked for a retainer of $2 million a year plus what they call success fees to help unfreeze money belonging to the Libyan government in 2015 when his dad was the vice president of the United States? Did you guys see some of those? You guys hear about that? No? Anybody? They are emails from the laptop that the left says doesn't exist. The one that's in FBI custody. And the reason that people are able to get the emails out of it is because of FOIA requests, because it's in government custody. You guys didn't know that, did you? Yeah. So this is crazy. This is an insane story. So Business Insider has this. And in 2015, because the Because you had Democrats who very much wanted to nation build in Libya. So in 2015, these emails, they keep going, well, they're not connected to the controversial emails from the laptop. Okay, except, yeah, and then what do you think? They said that the first email was dated January 28th, 2015. It was sent from Sam Johari, a Democratic donor with businesses in the Persian Gulf. He was helping to spearhead the Libya project. Now, the Libya project, this was one of the things that, I mean, this was some of their, they were all in WhatsApp messaging. It was a deal on Libyan funds, et cetera, et cetera. But they were, these emails, they were from Hunter Biden's business contacts. And what they showed is that the Obama administration had frozen a bunch of Libyan assets, and Biden, Hunter Biden, his whole job was to unfreeze those and get and make money off of unfreezing those assets while his dad was vice president. So the deal was never actually consummated, you could say, but they said that they went all right up to doing that. So one of the emails, let me look at this. It said, Johari is incredibly frank about what Biden would bring to the table and what he says Biden wanted in return. It said, per the conversation I met with number two son, he wants $2 million per year retainer plus success fees. He wants to hire his own people. It can be a close circle of people for confidentiality. His dad is deciding to run or not. His positives are chairman of UN World Food Program, son of number two who has Libya file, access to state, treasury, business partner of Secretary of State John Kerry's son. And he travels with his dad. He's connected everywhere in Europe and Asia where MQ, and that's Qaddafi, and their Libya investment authority had money frozen. He says he has access to high. Now, here's, I want you all to pay so attention to the sentence. I'm going to say so slowly. He said he has access to highest level in People's Republic of China and can help there. His negatives are that he is alcoholic, drug addict, kicked out of army for cocaine, chasing low class hookers, and constantly needs money, liquidity problems, and many more headaches. Hi, Kane. Now he was incorrect. He was kicked out of the Navy, not the Army. And everyone's like, well, they weren't, you know, you can't for sure say that it was his positive cocaine test, but he tested positive for cocaine when he was in the Navy. And then he got kicked out after he tested positive for cocaine. Occam's razor, geniuses. Whoo, boy. So there you have it. Okay, I'm going to ask this for the second time today. Can you imagine if this was Trump?
Oh, man. Or Trump Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Him and his kids.
Right.
This is just wild, wild. And the deal didn't wind up happening. And here's what's crazy. The emails that they got from Business Insider, they came from another source. Now, these emails, this whole deal and discussion with his connections with PRC, People's Republic of China, that is discussed in emails from the laptop. So now you have another source corroborating all of this. That's insane. Dude, he was marching out the VP office. Where's the hearing? This is a clown show. And I don't believe that, oh, I'm a sick old pawpaw. I honestly believe that Joe Biden's putting on an act of acting like he's got like Alzheimer's or something. Because he is so dirty. I think that he wants people to have pity on him and not actually go after him. Honestly, I think that's why he does this. Because that man, I don't believe it. We got more to come. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. We'll talk more about this here. Because I know you're not surprised. But where's the rest of the press on this? Kudos on Business Insider for finally running this. Good grief. But can you imagine if all of this stuff was able to be actually discussed fully and openly before the 2020 election? I know, right? Can you imagine? Our press are just, they got mad at me because I said the press are rat bastards, but you know what they are. Let's talk about trust. Now more than ever, we need to support organizations like Patriot Mobile that really share our beliefs and actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier and donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you and I care about. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedoms and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and choose between 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment. Choose a plan that best fits your budget with multi-line discounts and free premier activation. Switching is easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call the U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more. Switch to a company that you trust to tell the truth. Get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment and free premier activation by using promo code Dana. See details at PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, China is warning Australians that the nuclear propulsion submarine deal that they have as part of AUKUS, they said that China's warning 23 million Australians that this makes you target for a nuclear attack. FAFO, here's the thing. China's only saber-rattling at this point because they depend on Australia's iron ore in order to fund all of their... how they got to run all their construction, all of this other stuff. So this idea that they would even be able to do anything, if China had the ability to bring Australia to heel, they would have already, but they don't. And they realize that this actually makes them look weak. So, yeah, they said that they were bluntly warned that the deal... that it's a watershed moment. The quote was, Australia is armed, if it's a watershed moment, if Australia is armed with nuclear submarines to be locally produced in Australia, Australia will lose that privilege of not being targeted with nuclear weapons by other countries. FAFO, seriously. Then guess what? You get no more iron ore, and then you invoke Five Eyes, the Quad, and everybody else, and there you go. Have fun. Have fun with that. Let's peace through strength, guys. Shots fired at shots fired at Ukrainian presidential aide's car in an assassination attempt, reports NBC. They don't know, says Zelensky, who is behind it, but they said that sending me a message by shooting my friend is weakness. So the presidential aide's car was fired at. It was, they said, an assassination attempt. It was a volley of gunfire. It was actually automatic and not pretend automatic. But they said that the aide survived unscathed, but police said his driver was wounded after more than 10 bullets hit the car just outside of Kiev. And the local television station, 9 bullet holes could be seen on the driver's side of the car. So they've opened a criminal case on the matter. But let's be real. We all know what this is all about. And Russia's new gas pipeline to Germany delivers more power to Moscow. I know you're not surprised by that. James O'Keefe is going to be joining us. Don't go anywhere.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's the Dana Show.
Another issue related to China is importing of solar panels, because clearly a priority of the Biden administration is really addressing climate, but it's not the only priority. There are other things as well, such as the Uyghur situation in the West. What is the process by which one trades off climate against human rights?
Well, life is always full of tough choices in the relationship between nations.
You know, just some hard choices. Just some hard choices. Says Mr. Teresa Heinz Carey. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com.
Wow.
What?
I mean, just hearing him say that.
You know, it's just some hard choices.
Solar panels or, you know, human life.
I mean, you know, do we gotta pick between, you know, the climate change? Or do we gotta pick between those...
Tough choice.
Yeah, those people that they got up in them detention camps up there. Tough choices, man. Anyway, so I'm gonna go leave on my private jet now. The one time he didn't fly on his big private jet and he flew a commercial, that's when he got busted for not wearing a mask. Now, notice that you don't see him on commercial airlines anymore. He's probably back on his private jet. He rides, it's the catch-up jet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he married the Heinz catch-up lady, and so he's living large on the money that her husband earned. What was that? Yeah.
Yeah, the High Sky Heinz.
Yeah, I'm never letting that go. Never letting that go. During that election, man, I was a brat. I'm like, I still don't use Heinz products. I am that petty. Forever. They're banned. And I've told my kids, when you grow up and have your own houses and buy your own condiments, don't have your mom over if you got that crap on the table. I'm turning into members of my family. Sidebar real quick. So, like all my family, although I think that some of them are turning Republican now, they're all union folk, right? And you could not bring a craft beer or anything like that to Thanksgiving because people would bring all different kinds of drinks and all that. And I didn't know if he was joking or not, but it was said with such a seriousness that I thought, oh, he's for real. An uncle was like, don't, because I had some Schlafly beer. And I had an uncle go, don't bring that non-union swill in this house. And so I actually had to leave it out on the porch. That's okay. You know, put it in a cooler. You're laughing. So, but I'm turning into that though with like the Heinz stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, what ketchup is that? If you put it on my burger, throw the burger away. You just ruined it. Might as well take a deuce right on the patty. Just throw it away. I'm that.
Hunts only for me. Hunts.
Oh, I don't know. There's something to it. God bless America. All right, so John Kerry, what does he do? I forgot what he does. I actually did literally forgot what he does. This was a question that he was asked just the other day. They asked him this, and he's like, some problems. Merp, merp, merp. Just some problems. Yeah, just, tough choices. Gosh, it's harsh. We were telling you a little bit earlier during the presser, during Ducey time, that Jen Psaki had said that they are not using any more horses now at the border because the media did not know what horses' reins were. I bet some of them didn't know what that large animal was, honestly. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet? Someone's like, what is that, a kangaroo? I don't know. Those are only in Australia. Honestly, I really wonder. And they falsely accused Border Patrol of whipping people at the border when they didn't. And so now they took away the horses. But the whips are okay. No, they don't. I'm kidding. They don't actually. They never had whips. But they took away the horses. I don't have any words. This is such a clown show.
Whips are still cool, though, because I haven't heard them say anything about whips.
Yeah, but the whips are okay.
Whips are cool. Horses, not cool.
You guys just got to chase them down on foot now. Whoop them. That's what you got to do. No one was whipping anybody, okay, except Joe Biden's job approval rating in every poll that's been taken thus far. He's the only person getting whipped at this point. Getting whipped to political death. By public fury. Whoo! I don't know if you've seen some of those poll numbers. Gosh, can you, if this was, I don't want time to speed up at all, but man, I do want to pull midterms a little closer, like maybe a wormhole or something, you know? Because this is going to be bad. And then we got jobless numbers. So jobless claims rise, the economy still, pandemic Joe. He's a part of the branch COVIDians. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, it's true, they released today figures, new jobless claims, and it was the jobless claims were up. The number of Americans filing new unemployment claims has increased to 351,000. They were expected to decline. No, I'm not laughing. I mean, this is just how clueless these people are. They have no, this is how clueless these people are. They don't know what horse reins are, right? They have no idea what a horse rein is. That looks like a whip. What do you think you used to I got to go back to this. I'm sorry. What do you think that you used to steer horses with? I don't know, a joystick? Steering wheel? It's like video games. Left, right? So, the Labor Department says that these new claims have skyrocketed to an all-time high, 6.1 million. And then, of course, Democrats are racing. They want to pass the $3.5 trillion budget. And if you can believe it, some of them are going, that's not really a lot of money. $3.5 trillion? It's over $10,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And to count, because this is actually, this was a piece over at New York, I think it was New York Times, $3.5 trillion is not a lot of money. For real. That's what one of the headlines are. It would take you over about 111,000 years to count to $3.5 trillion. It would take you about 111,000 years just to count to $3.5 trillion. Count to $3.5 trillion. It's not a lot of money. Wow. So Democrats are racing to get this passed. So this is all our money. Instead of, notice how they have not actually eased the tax burden at all. In fact, what they've done is they are weaponizing the IRS. They're hiring more IRS agents, and they're going to monitor all of your bank, everybody's bank account. If you have more than $600 in your bank account's going to be monitored without your approval or even your knowledge by the IRS. That's the other thing that they have tucked away in here. Man alive. But the horses, though. Right? Meanwhile, in Rona, the FDA's authorized Pfizer booster shots for older and at-risk Americans. Yeah. And then you have the Moderna dude, the chief executive over at Moderna, sees the pandemic over in a year. The chief executive, they're based in Zurich. They said that the coronavirus pandemic could be over in a year as increased vaccine production ensures global supplies. He told a Swiss newspaper. 15 days to slow the spread. That's it.
So it'll be over just right before midterms?
Yeah. Right. Very interestingly, right before midterms. Guys, we think the pandemic is going to be over in November of 2022.
Late October of...
That's when it'll be over. That we're pretty sure. Actually, probably right at the beginning of October, after any kind of October surprise. That's when the pandemic is going to be over. Good heavens. There we have it. So, JP Morgan Chase actually found that the Delta variant was this half as contagious as believed, according to one headline. They have a new analysis, and they said that contrary to developed nations that imposed draconian lockdowns, that developing nations saw a Delta wave that was much milder than anticipated. Huh, look at that. And they said that in this, JP Morgan wrote a note about EM vulnerabilities to the Delta variant, and that this drew attention to 7 different countries, Philippines, Peru, Colombia, South Africa, Ecuador, Thailand, and Mexico. And they looked like they were going to be very vulnerable and probably have a lot to deal with because of the prevalence of Delta and their low vaccination rates, right? But apparently that didn't happen. They said that none of the countries saw the gains that we had anticipated in terms of those contractions of cases. Huh. Wow. So they were saying maybe it's seasonality, infectiousness of Delta variant, acquired immunity from infection and recovery, et cetera, et cetera. But that's actually pretty significant, I think.
Since I got the Delta variant and I was fully vaccinated, wonder how contagious I even was.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a great question. I at least know from the vaccine, according to CDC, that it doesn't prevent transmission. But have they actually studied like how transmissible it is between people who haven't been vaxxed? And I haven't heard anybody who's had it who didn't get vaccine or didn't get the vaccine. I haven't heard anybody who got it naturally got it. I never heard of them getting it again.
Fauci did say that the viral load was pretty much identical to the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. So probably transmission is the same too.
Yeah, interesting. So that's pretty significant. I was very, 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 you don't need all the draconian stuff is essentially what they're saying. I have to share this with you. So UC San Diego, have you seen some of the stuff that they're doing? They've imposed very, very, very science. No drinking water under any circumstances, including outdoor classes. You can only take short hydration breaks. This is apparently what it's like to go back to being normal under mandatory vaccination. They actually have this, UC San Diego. They say safe classroom rules / rule compliance. What rules do I or my students have to follow in the classroom? Masking is required at all times, regardless of vaccination status. No eating or drinking is allowed in classes, regardless of whether these are indoor or outdoor. The only exception from this rule are short hydration breaks for instructors while lecturing. Oh my gosh. So water's banned. This is so stupid. This is so ridiculous. You can't even take your mask down to drink water. The mask that doesn't work anyway. Why don't you just wear a pillow over your face? Put a couple and then have someone press down on it. For the love. This is so ridiculous. Oh my gosh, I just can't. These people are too much, you guys. This is too much. These people are crazy. I still love Ron DeSantis's quip about masks. He's like, how do I drink? I can't drink a mask with that. I can't drink a beer with a damn mask on. So he said, oh, it's good. All right. So we got more on the way. I was mistaken because James O'Keefe, well, not totally. He got moved to next hour because he's going to be joining us. Next hour is going to be a little crazy. So we'll have him. And we also have Senator Rand Paul as well. And we'll get you some of the latest numbers. Like, for instance, child obesity soared during the coronavirus lockdowns. Oh, and by the way, speaking of children and comorbidities, there have been more children shot in Chicago this year in Chicago alone than, and this is according to the Chicago Police Department, their figures versus CDC figures, 302 children shot in Chicago, and their figures that the Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins takes exception to, they way more than children under 17 who have fatalities from coronavirus. Interesting. So we'll get into all that as well. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man was filmed walking across the restricted section of Disney World's Cinderella Castle. And apparently people, they're not supposed to go there, but he didn't care and said YOLO. Apparently did it anyway. He's been temporarily barred from returning. And he walked right across this video of the Cinderella Castle, and he stood out there and waved at everybody. Just was like, hey. So, yeah, he claimed his castle for himself. So I didn't know you couldn't go up there. I just thought, why even have it if you can't go up there? Are they worried that people are going to jump off or something like that? I don't know. Let's see here. A couple of others here. This is insane. So a Florida bookkeeper passed away, age 61, and did not leave, apparently, for his coworkers, the password for all of the finance software. He worked for a Republican Party campaign and was responsible for filing his monthly reports to the FEC. And he did not share any login information. They have no idea how to get in there. They have no idea how to use it. Oh, my gosh. So this is a nightmare for them. So they said that they're going to need more time to complete a report on their August fundraising numbers because this is bad. So, yeah, they have no way of getting in. It's in Hillsborough County. They have no way of getting in and accessing that. You know what, though? Think about that. How many times, like, what, you, do people actually think about that stuff? Like, when you're making out your will, I feel like maybe there should be a password section or, like, a login section for the will, right? So.
You'd have to be constantly updating that damn thing, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, but still, I feel like there should be a way to make that happen some way. Because think about it, though, right? I mean, how many.
Did they try password 1234?
Like for instance, we have this app that we can control. My husband loves gadgets, and so he likes those lights that you can control with an app on your phone. Get those light bulbs, which I mean, good for them. But, I'm not saying that he's going to kick the bucket, but oh my gosh, how do you control the lights? Like, right? How does it happen? He's got them all on timers, so I don't care. I'm like, oh, the lights are on. I don't even have, what is the switch? I don't know. That's just something to think about, right? Let's see here. A woman was found bound and naked in a Florida storm drain, and she will not tell people how she got there. What? Fort Myers News Press reported that they found this unidentified woman. Her name hasn't been released. Sitting at the bottom of a drain with straps on her legs. They had to call the fire department to remove the grate and then lift her out. Was she put there by a clown? Like, how did that happen? They said she's a transient who stayed at a nearby hotel. And while police spoke with one person that she'd previously stayed with, hotel staff did not recognize her. Police said she would not cooperate with him. She was taken to an area hospital for treatment. I'm just saying, was its name Pennywise? Did you call it Penny? Did it have, you know, like, did it look like a clown? Just, yeah, were there any balloons present? Were you floating a paper boat? I just got to be careful with this stuff, right? Let's see. Well, actually, we're running out of time here, but. Here coming up in our next hour, we have Senator Rand Paul. He's going to be joining us, and we will also be speaking with James O'Keefe. So packed next hour coming up. Oh, and then apparently Joe Biden said once that Haiti could fall into the sea.
141 people are in hospital with COVID at present, and 43 are in intensive care, 18 of whom require ventilation. So this is a very serious disease. Of those 141, 60 are under the age of 55 and 28 under the age of 35. And of the 43 people in intensive care, one is in their teens, seven are in their 20s, three are in their 30s, 14 are in their 50s, and 12 are in their 60s, and six are in their 70s. So this is affecting people of all ages with very serious disease. All but one. Are vaccinated. One person has just received one dose of vaccine.
That was very interesting audio coming in from Australia. Welcome to our third hour of broadcasting. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Joining me right now, I've so enjoyed his line of questioning whenever he has spoken, whether it's Mayorkas, whether it's anyone at CDC with Fauci at NIH. Senator Rand Paul joins us now. Senator, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, as you heard from this audio soundbite, out of all of those numbers that they were listing, there had been one individual that had been vaccinated had been vaccinated, one that hadn't been vaccinated. And this kind of comes into the question that you've discussed quite a bit, is the importance of like, if people want to get vaccinated, that's their choice. But mandating something, it just seems to me that if the government, Senator, is going to mandate that you get an injection, that injection ought to do what they claim that it will do. And so far from the CDC, we haven't seen that. Your thoughts?
Well, this gets to my point. Every individual is different. Age groups are different. And your risks, you evaluate individually. And in a free country, you make your decisions based on what you perceive your risk to be. So if you're over 65, 90% of those over 65 have decided voluntarily that they think the risks of the disease are much greater than any possible problem with the vaccine, and 90% of people voluntarily took the vaccine. Over age 50, 75% of people over 50 have taken it. But it's also different if you're under 15. If you're under 25, the death rate is about 1 in a million. So why would we want to mandate it to people where the death rate is very low? Why would we want to mandate it to people who've already had the disease? Studies out of Israel now show that if you've gotten the disease naturally, if you've been unlucky, but you've gotten it and you've survived, that your immunity actually is equal to or exceeds the vaccine. One study said 27 times better. And that's not an argument against the vaccine. It's just an argument that we should count these people in our statistics. Because if you don't count 100 million Americans who got it naturally, then you're like Dr. Fauci and wringing your hands and saying, oh, my, we must force inoculation. We must force vaccine on children because not enough people have been vaccinated. The truth is we were very close to controlling this. In May, June, when we got down to less than 10,000 cases, we were almost there. And then the virus eluded or evolved around the vaccine, and it's able to penetrate the defenses of the vaccine. So it's not only the lack of vaccination, unvaccinated is part of it, but it's also that the vaccine has eluded us. So the real answer right now is probably allowing a new vaccine to come forward. Instead, they're wanting to sell you last year's news, the old vaccine as a booster, but it doesn't really affect the Delta variant as well as the new one will. So just like with the flu, we get a new vaccine each year. There is a Delta vaccine out there. And what they should do, instead of trying to mandate that your newborn get a shot before they leave the hospital of a vaccine that's now a year old, they should be following Trump's predicate and doing an actual Operation Warp Speed for a new vaccine, a new Delta variant. It's already made. We just have to get it through the red tape now.
That's a great point. We're talking with Senator Rand Paul because, you know, I play a scientist and a medical researcher on air. So I'm looking at this and just hearing from some of your line of questioning with Fauci previously and hearing some of these other medical experts. I mean, you're an actual doctor, so you kind of know a little bit about this. I don't understand how they could claim that one vaccine could apply to another mutation when there hasn't been any of the genome sequencing. They haven't been able to do anything that actually directs it towards that mutation.
Well, there's partial overlap. So what I would say is the vaccine is still of value. If you're over 65, I recommend that people get vaccinated voluntarily. Right. I'm not mandating anybody, but my suggestion, if you're over 65, I would be vaccinated, even though it's imperfect. Because let's say you get some immune response, means you can still be infected, but you have some pre-existing immune response, even if it's partial. It's better than not having any. Mm. The problem is we also don't know who this affects. There's random people that probably have some genetic predisposition to having an overly exuberant immune response and their lungs become filled with fluid. We don't yet know who those people are. There are more of them over 65 than under. But one of the things we could do, and that I've been promoting, not that Dr. Fauci will listen, is we need to find a group of people that don't usually die but unfortunately have died from this. Let's say under age 40, find 100 people who died from COVID, and then under age 40, find the people who had it and had no symptoms. Genetically sequence all of those people and say, could we find a genetic sequence that helps us find the unusual person that's got some kind of genetic predisposition? There is going to be an anomaly that could be found. We have the ability to go through your entire genome in a day. We can take a DNA sample of your cells in your body, and we can go through the whole sequence in a day. So it's automated, and the machines can do this for us. So we could really, in a relatively short time, compare and try to find what is the anomaly that allows somebody to have no symptoms and somebody else to die from this disease.
That's been part of the questions that we have been throwing back and forth here. Like, what are the genetic, is there a genetic predisposition that makes someone react in a certain way? And that's a great point that you just had. A quick question for you on this, and then I want to get into some of the FISA warrants and the droning, which I really appreciated your remarks on that earlier on the issue. Why is there no importance placed on natural immunity? Why is that treated as though it's either non-existent or it is somehow inferior to that antibodies produced by vaccines?
Dr. Fauci's dissembling, but he's lying to you for the greater good. So he believes that he's, you know, Plato's reincarnation, and that the masses aren't smart enough to make a decision on being vaccinated. He really wants you to be vaccinated. And by and large, the advice to be vaccinated is good. But he's afraid if he tells you that natural immunity works, that you might not be vaccinated if you've already gotten it. He knows that you're protected. But what he's doing is he's thinking, what's the simplest way to get the beehive, the collective, entirely vaccinated? Let's don't let them think about it. Let's don't let them noodle through how to take it. Because some, like Dr. McCary, who have made some good points of advice, he says, well, you probably don't need it, but if you're going to take it, maybe one dose. And Dr. Fauci is aghast. He's like, oh, no, we don't want anybody thinking about this. Just do what you're told. So blind submission is what this is about. It isn't about science. Because the interesting part of the science is that, yes, natural infection does provide, once you've had COVID, a great deal of immunity, at least as much as the vaccine. For a year, they came to me. Every reporter in the halls of Congress came to me and said, well, you don't know how long it'll last. And I would look at them and say, yeah, but you don't know how long the vaccine will last either. It's like, I'm not condemning the vaccine. I actually think it works. Why are condemning nature's vaccine, which I got, and saying it doesn't work when I'm not saying that the vaccine's going to run out and we won't know till over time? And I've also told people I'm not adamantly opposed. I've not been vaccinated yet. But over the next couple of months, if the Delta variant starts killing people like me who have been infected and it looks like I need to be vaccinated, I probably will, but I'll probably try to get the Delta vaccine because I've already been inoculated to the wild variant. My susceptibility, if I have any, is probably to the Delta variant. Why would I want to take the old vaccine when I think the new one is what I need and what most elderly people are going to need is a booster of the new vaccine? So really what we should be doing is it's exactly the same technology. I don't know how the flu vaccine gets approved so quickly. How do we get a flu vaccine every year? And they're saying, oh, it's going to take another year to get a Delta vaccine. By then, we may be on to Mu or Rho or exactly. Some other Greek letter. So, you know, I think we should be talking about this, and not enough people are talking about where's the Delta vaccine and what's it going to take to let the government allow it to be approved sooner.
Now we're talking
for voluntary.
Yes, we're talking with Senator Rand Paul. Yes, definitely. For voluntary, for that decision-making process to be voluntary. And I have to say, Senator, this is more information that we've heard from you talking about this than any interview that we've heard, whether it's been on any of the networks talking to Fauci or talking to Walensky. I mean, it's just much more informative. They always get into politics and policy. And here you are into policy and you're actually getting more into the science and the medicinal side of it. I wanted to ask you also, you had a great line of questioning with DHS's Mayorkas. She had a great line of questioning with a number of officials in the Biden administration. One of the stories that I don't think is getting enough attention, thankfully you're giving it a lot of attention. August 29th, we droned 10 innocent people. Seven of those were children. Apparently, one of the man that was under surveillance looked like he was an ally of American soldiers, either an informant or a translator. This brings up a lot of questions about drone usage. I know it was a favorite tactic of Obama Biden during that era. But I'm curious as to where this intelligence is coming from. If this is part of Joe Biden's over the horizon strategy, I really am concerned that we are relying upon the Taliban for this kind of stuff. And I worry about intelligence overall. It's a nightmare over there.
I don't think it's really over the horizon. I think it's more CYA. You know, they screwed up so royally, they had to do something. They had to save face in the horrible demise of 13 young men and women who defended our country, whose lives were lost because of the utter incompetence of Biden's generals, vacating Bagram Air Force Base that had concrete reinforced gates where soldiers would have had a fighting chance against an explosion, where they had a mile or two of visibility where they could have kept people away from gates. This wouldn't have happened at Bagram. So this was a military decision. But in the wake of the deaths of 13, I think they were like, we must do something. We must do something to draw attention away, to show that we are not inept, to show that we are not weak. We must act. We must look strong. But in their haste to look strong, they came out, you know, looking foolish and also maybe endangering our country further. When you kill an innocent person and you kill 7, 10 children around that innocent person, they will remember this for decades and decades. Hundreds of villagers, hundreds of relatives will remember that the last act of the Americans in this long war, And I don't fault our soldiers. They're trying to do their best. I fault the politicians who gave them the order. And I want to know, actually, and I've asked this question, did Biden give the actual order to kill this person? Under Obama's era, they had flashcards. They went all the way up to Obama, and Obama would make the ultimate decision to kill somebody. Was Biden asked about the specific hit? Did he give a specific approval? So he can't turf this decision to some captain or colonel or whatever. I'm guessing he did make that ultimate decision. But what a terrible decision it was, and it was because it was done in haste. What would I have done? I would have bombed the crap out of Bagram. I would have destroyed every inch of runway, every plane, every helicopter, every warehouse full of automatic weapons. We have the ability to do it. Instead of a pinprick against a bomb against the wrong person, we should have bombed the main thing that people are unhappy about, leaving $80 billion worth of our equipment over there. So while the war needed to end, we needed to leave. Nobody in their worst nightmare could have imagined anyone as inept or any more inept withdrawal than what Biden did.
Yes, and talking with Senator Rand Paul, and Senator, the last topic here for you. I know you've spoken a lot about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA Act. Everybody got very, very familiar with FISA and what FISA courts do after 2016, because for the first time, everyone saw on a national stage just how petty politics had gotten when someone who was actually apparently working as a CIA asset was surveilled simply because they were involved as a private citizen in a political campaign. I like your response. Your response is just follow the Constitution. You don't need to be getting these FISA warrants to surveil people. Talk to us about that.
You know, when Orwell wrote 1984, or even when I read it in the 1970s, one of the things that gave us consolation, those who worried about a government becoming this intrusive, we said, well, they don't have the technology. There's no two-way television sets. How could they monitor our every move? But now they do have that technology. And so some of us are very, very concerned with how that's used. We have the ability, and the NSA has actually done this, to retrieve the metadata of who you call and how long you talk to them for everyone, for millions and millions of Americans. They did it for years without telling us. That goes against the Fourth Amendment. It says you have to have an individual, you have to accuse them of an individual, you have to know what you're asking for, and there has to be probable cause. So I asked Director Wray this the other day. You know, he says he's instituted reform so this doesn't happen again. And I said, well, the problem is that, as Hamilton said, men aren't angels. So we put rules in place, and we have judges and checks and balances, and we have the Fourth Amendment. And when you have a warrant, a FISA warrant, that's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court warrant, it's a warrant that doesn't adhere to the Fourth Amendment. It says you have to have probable cause of a relationship with a foreign government. Well, everybody that runs for president is going to have foreign policy advisors that have been overseas. Some of them will have been ambassadors to other countries. They call and talk to other countries. We talk to our adversaries. Right. I've met with a Chinese ambassador. I've met with a Russian ambassador. I've met with dozens of ambassadors. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that. It's part of what diplomacy is. But the thing is that doesn't give the right of the government to say, oh, that person met with the Russian ambassador. We should get a special warrant that doesn't obey the Constitution. This was what was troubling about Director Wray. His response, you and I just disagree that the FISA court is constitutional. I think the FISA court is extra constitutional. And really, I'm okay with it for foreigners, people outside of our borders. But American citizens should get the American Constitution. Right. You can still do things in secret. You can ask a judge to go into secret court. You can say, I want to eavesdrop on so-and-so. They're an American, and we think they're communicating with a foreigner, and they may be developing a bomb for terrorism. No federal judge in our land will deny you that warrant. You'll get it. But then, at some point in time, if you've made a mistake or you get somebody that thinks says they're innocent, you'll go to an open public court. You'll have an attorney on both sides. There'll be a record of it, and there'll be this adversarial process. Right. That gets to the truth through a jury. FISA never has that. So FISA is not constitutional for Americans. This is the reform I put forward, but Bill Barr and all the other people opposed me. Trump was leaning my way, but in the end, we never got the reform, which is FISA court shouldn't be used on Americans.
Right, there you go. And I loved that explanation as well. And I think it's incredibly important that people understand this, especially as things as this political heat, the cancel culture, using government agencies to settle scores, that heat keeps getting hotter. Senator Rand Paul, we so appreciate your fight in D.C. And we always look forward to you when to your line of questioning whenever we see it come up. So we appreciate you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for joining us today.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Hi there, you reached Daniel Pompeo, USA Today. Sorry I missed your call, but if you leave your name, number, and a brief message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Hi, Daniel, this is James O'Keefe. I just got your email. My comment is this. Your email appears to be an effort to get our video removed from the internet via symbiotic relationship with tech companies via shared interest. My question is, which social media platform is paying you to do this? Is it Facebook? Because last time this happened, we sued the New York Times for defamation, and the judge is allowing it to go all the way to a trial, so this isn't going to work out for you. My next question is, how many adverse effects were not reported to the Vera system? Do you know? Because if you don't know, you can't do a proper fact check. My third thing I'm going to say is, you're creating a fake tautological argument so you can knock this down off the internet. My fourth thing I have to say is, Dr. Gonzalez made this claim inside HHS, not me. I'm reporting what someone said. The public has a right to know this information. She did indeed say it, and the hospital has not denied what we've uncovered. The hospital's issued a comment. I hope you report that comment. If you don't, it's journalistic malpractice. I would like you to call me back, please. My number is, you have an obligation to call me back. If you don't call me back, you are acting in willful disregard for the truth, and I will sue you. So, that just happened.
So that's James O'Keefe, who's banned, I think, from everything except Instagram. They're trying to get him booted off of Facebook, and then probably Instagram, because it's Facebook-owned. And this is all because of the series that Project Veritas has been doing, and now they have a federal government, it's a whistleblower with HHS, who was... Well, I can't say the full quote on air because I'll totally get... I do have a pass from Brandon Carr, so I always go back and forth as to when I want to use that. But it's basically full of nonsense. That's what we'll say. You know. And it's a great undercover piece, investigative piece. You know, actual journalism, right? That talks... It gets into what we... They're asking the questions that everyone asks, but that mainstream media is not actually... investigating. And then of course they have their part two where they have an FDA official. Maybe they're joking or not. I just tend to think that these people aren't joking when they're talking about blow darting people and how they want a registry of people who are unvaccinated. To talk with us about all of this, Project Veritas's James O'Keefe. And James, it's good to see you. And I know folks, they can go to Project Veritas's website because you guys got hit by the hurricane and you came out with us even after all of that happened. So we've been thinking of you, and I hope that people are going and donating. But this is, I have to ask you about this phone call first, because these videos, I mean, you're talking to actual people who are working in our federal government, and they are telling you things that this is of public interest. This is newsworthy. Why does Facebook, why do they want to get this offline?
Well, Dana, you know, thank you for having me on. And we're actually strikingly still on YouTube. Dana, the first video has about 5 million views on it. It was the most watched video in Project Veritas history this week with the nurse inside HHS. And we're still on Facebook, although what prompted that phone call was Facebook. USA Today works with Facebook. They do fact checks, but they're not anything resembling a fact check. Our headline's already written. They're just trying to justify it's fake news, et cetera. But this is not fake. These are actual nurses and federal employees that recorded each other bemoaning the fact that there are heart conditions not reported to the CDC. That's a fact. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter whether you like it. It's factually true. So channeling Andrew Breitbart, my former mentor and mutual friend, he once told me, don't accept phone calls from CNN. Don't subject yourself to a CNN hit piece. So I channeled him a little bit on that phone call, and I'm exposing what these people do because there's nothing else for us to do. But this FDA official, Dana, that came out last night talking about blow darting African Americans, this is like racist stuff. This is stuff that if said by, you know, you or you know, Madison Cawthorn or whoever, there'd be an uproar. So it's the elitism, it's the condescending attitude that Taylor from the FDA talks about black people, that educated white people are willing to do this. And then that's what we're exposing here in part two released last night.
And this is, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable, some of the stuff that's coming out in this. And that was part two. And part one, of course, you have someone who's with HHS,
who's talking with you about what is in these vaccines. And we were talking just a little bit earlier with Senator Rand Paul about, you know, genome sequencing and how are you trying to push one vaccine for a mutation that you haven't seen, don't have any genetic sequencing for. So, you know, there's going to be overlaps, that there's going to be gaps that aren't covered, and that's why you're having breakthroughs. And it's amazing that no one, I mean, you're getting more information from these people on these issues than, how many times have we seen Kane? We've had so many different interviews of Fauci and Rochelle Walensky, and it's the same garbage.
All of them.
Every time they speak. That's not where people are getting their information from about this. I'm just, it boggles my mind that people are trying to keep information like this, that I want to know this. I want to know what someone in HHS is saying about what is in these injections that are essentially therapeutics that are not actually inoculating people. And I'm sure, because these are only two videos, you do the drip drip approach.
Yes. And we have pharma companies coming up next, Dana. And I think that personally, that's the most damning stuff, because those are the people who make the product, right? So you got the doctors and the emergency room nurses in this health and human services clinic. They're just seeing what's happening, and they're telling me, well, people are dying. We're not reporting heart conditions, myocarditis, which you're supposed to report a heart congestion failure to the CDC. That's actually the rules say that you have to. The other minor stuff, you don't have to. So they're saying, we're not reporting this, and it's my obligation as a journalist to tell the people this. But to your point, and you know, this is a new level of Orwellian reality. They don't want any facts that deign from the prevailing, you know, statist narrative to be reported. And the new line of attack against me, Dana, now is that I'm harming people. And information, even the communist teacher thing we did 2 weeks ago, that this guy was fired in California, no less. I'm harming him by releasing information about him. That's the new attack. It's no longer the tapes or doctor. That didn't work. The selective editing thing is not working. So that they're facing threats of violence for me revealing information about people. And of course, the paragon of journalism is, we're a country founded on the First Amendment. The public's right to know is so important. But on this issue, it's becoming perhaps more controversial than guns or abortion now. With this vaccine, you're not allowed to expose facts. And what's happening, Dana, is that there's like 100,000 people messaging me, nurses, people inside pharma companies, saying this needs to come to light, and there's nowhere else for them to go. All media and all tech are unilaterally opposed to fact-finding on this issue.
What happened to informed consent?
It's a good question. I mean, our country was founded on the principle of informed consent. In fact, a citizenry can't make intelligent decisions about who to elect unless they have access to unfettered information. So I've seen it. It's gotten worse in the last 6 months. It's gotten worse in the last 6 days. Things are spiraling so rapidly now. Project Veritas's strategy, Dana, is to not stop. In fact, we've gained 600,000 followers on Telegram. Mm. So it seems like people are going to go wherever they can get the information. And the good news is, because there's a lot of, you know, negative things that we're saying here, but the good news is that the people are really engaged. And I've had 10,000 messages from people saying, I'm going to get fired from my job, wow, whether it's Marines, firefighters, nurses. And they say, send me one of those hidden cameras. So the good news is, there's thousands of people that are activated now, and Veritas intends to equip them.
I'm talking with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, and their new series, going undercover and looking at what these whistleblowers are saying within HHS. And I think, you know, to going back really quickly to the point that you made about myocarditis and pericarditis. I mean, I understand what gets me is that when you report on, or when you or anyone reports on, any kind of side effects or any kind of, you know, negative reactions as it relates to vaccines, even if you say it's rare, people are still saying that you're fear mongering, even when you're reporting something as basic fact. Yet you have the CDC that can go out and falsify and inflate the number of child fatalities and have to have Johns Hopkins and Wall Street Journal go out and debunk them and say, well, you left out all these very serious comorbidities when you were using the 242 number to try to justify masking and mandatory vaccinations for kids in schools, when, I mean, you had some serious comorbidities that actually contributed to that fatality rate. It wasn't just actually coronavirus. So you can't trust those agencies. But yet when you simply report on some of these adverse reactions to the vaccine that are rare but are happening and people have a right to know about them, then they say you are spreading disinformation.
It's a projection, right? It's the Leninist, is it Lenin, I think, who said that accuse your enemy of what you're doing. So it's misinformation. We saw this, Dan. This is very important your audience hear this. That's what happened with the voter fraud issue in 2020. Now, I don't know if there was enough literal voter fraud irregularities to overturn the presidential. But what I do know is that there was voter fraud. There was voter fraud in Minnesota. There was voter fraud. In fact, they arrested a woman in Texas for ballot harvesting.
I have someone who is illegally registered at my home address.
Right. So it's not a question of whether the irregularities happen. It's a question of to what extent. And that's the same thing with the vaccine. There's totally negative things from this vaccine. There's myocarditis, there's heart conditions. Now, whether that those means justify the end of forcing vaccination is a very interesting public policy question. We can't have that conversation. I don't know the answer. What I do know is that when a federal employee comes to me with hidden camera recordings from inside a federal clinic treating Native American patients, and she's crying and she's saying, I can't live with myself. This is information that Facebook wants banned and Instagram wants banned. And my question is, why? And what scares me is that increasingly in this country, there's so many people that it's almost like a religion on these issues. You can't, things are so polarized, you can't even report basic facts. And by the way, people say, Facebook sent me a message. Mark Zuckerberg's company sent me a message. Well, you know, your claim. It wasn't my claim. I'm not making any claims. I don't even have an opinion, frankly. My only opinion is I should be able to report what federal government employees, nurses, and ER doctors are telling me. That's more important than what Fauci is telling you, because when Fauci tells you something, it's something he wants you to, he's talking to a journalist, and it's almost like a propaganda. Here's what I want you to know. But what I'm reporting is what people don't want you to know. And that's the whole point of journalism, isn't it? It's to report to the public what they want secret from you. So these are really dangerous times, Dana. But again, the optimistic thinking here is that I've got so many of these federal employees reaching out to me now, and nurses, and I intend to equip all of them. And I don't think anything's going to stop Veritas because the audience is growing.
I completely agree. I'll have to say this. I think in 40 years from now, 40 to 50 years from now, there are going to be journalism classes that are going to be taught about James O'Keefe. Amen. I really do think that at some point people will be looking at James O'Keefe with investigative news reporting the same way they looked at Joe Mitchell with feature writing. And they're going to look at you as the blueprint for that. You're doing such a service for everybody. And folks, you need to go to Project Veritas. Go to their Instagram page as well. Go to Facebook. Go to their website, projectveritas.com. And I also suggest that you donate, because you need to make sure that you're supporting independent journalism that is not beholden to any kind of foreign entity or beholden to like the Ted Turners of the world. James, you do such great work. Please keep us updated, because I know you have more videos coming out. I can't wait to see what can you tell me one thing before I let you go? One thing about the big pharma videos that you have coming.
Yeah, we have executives and people inside pharmaceutical companies, which I think is the most damning part of the series, because they're the ones who actually make the product. And they talk about some of the negative aspects of their product. And that the first video will be launched Monday night at 8:00. So I don't know what they're going to say about that. The people who actually make the product are talking about their product. Are they going to ban me for reporting that? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I intend to die on this hill, Dana. So Monday, 8:00 Eastern time will be part one of that.
James O'Keefe, yeah. Project Veritas. James, as always, thank you in more ways than one. Good to see you.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
Oh my gosh, we have had so much. I'm gonna have to save some of the stuff to play for you tomorrow. But hey, guess what? Real quick, the Taliban. I'm sorry, our Afghan partners.
There you go.
Thanks, Kane. I appreciate that correction. They said that public executions are coming back, and so will amputations as punishment for defying religious law. Quote: cutting off of hands is very necessary for security. No one should tell us what our laws should be. End quote. That is from the Taliban. I mean, our Afghan partners.
There you go. I think the White House will call that irregular punishment.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Irregular punishment.
Yeah, there it is.
Like irregular migration.
Right.
from Haiti. By the way, Kane, for today's stupidity, I know this is from 1994, but it's very apropos considering all the stuff that people said about Trump.
Yeah.
Don't you have something that Biden had said about Haiti?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Haiti,
a god-awful thing to say, if Haiti just quietly sunk into the Caribbean or rose up 300 feet, it wouldn't matter a whole lot in terms of our interests.
That's our president.
Yeah, there you go. If they just like sunk off into the sea, it wouldn't matter a whole lot to our intro. Oh, wow.
What if the media will cover that?
I wonder if the media will cover that or if they're even going to cover what his baby infant, precious 50-something-year-old child, Hunter Biden.
He's just an irregular child.
Yeah,
he's irregular child. And that was an irregular statement from the president.
What about it? Yeah, his irregular child with his irregular emails, not from that irregular laptop. That show that he was totally merching out the VP office.
Fiber.
Yeah, he does need some fiber, some political fiber. Folks, tomorrow's Friday. Have a great night. I'll be back with you then.